Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Mem Tes. It's a shorter shiur today because they're early davening for Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So let's get to work. We left off on daf Mem Ches on the Beis. We are two lines from the bottom of the page by the word Eini. We're in the middle of an Inyan though, as seems to be happening a lot lately. The Gemara had last said that the same person who signs on a Moda'a, the Gemara was discussing whether the person who signs on a moda'a is also allowed to sign on the actual shtar. What's a moda'a? Moda'a is when a person lets it known in advance that he's not interested in selling his property, and he's only doing it because he's being strong-armed into it, but he's not really interested in selling it. So if he writes a moda'a in advance of the sale, that the whatever kinyan I do and whatever shtar I write afterwards is not going to be valid and is not, I don't really mean it, so as long as it was done in advance of the sale, that's fair. A person's allowed to make it known in advance, as long as he has edim in advance, that he's not interested in the sale, so he can nullify the sale. But what about the edim themselves? Can an aid who signed on the moda'a then go and sign on the shtar when he knows for sure that the shtar that he's signing on is an invalid shtar, because he's the one that signed on the moda'a that said that it was invalid? So let's back up a little bit to Tavi Tala Lepapi. So I'm going to back up a little bit just to get the flow over here. Tavi Tala Lepapi Akin Rav Zavin. The line after that. Chasam Rabba Bar Bruchana Amodah Vashkalta. Rabba Bruchana signed in a case where Tavi forced Papi to sell something to him. Rabba Bar Bruchana signed both on the Moda'a and on the actual shtar. Amar Rav Huna, man de chasim amoda'a, shapir chasim, uman de chasim ashkalta shapir chasim. It's okay to sign on the moda'a, and it's okay to sign on the ashkalta. Again, the ashkalta over here is the shtar mechira. So, says the Gemara, what do you mean? Manavshach, imoda'a lo ashkalta, vi ashkalta lo moda'a. How can you sign on both? If you hold that when you're signing the shtar, you're doing the right thing, then the moda'a is not the right thing. If you hold that when you sign the moda'a, you're doing the right thing, then the shtar is not the right thing. How can you sign in two contradictory documents? So says the Gemara, Hachi Kama, this is what he meant to say. Ilav moda'a, had it not been for the moda'a, man dechasim ashkalta shaper chasim, then the shtar would have been a good shtar. But now that you have the moda'a, the shtar is not a good shtar. And Rav Huna l'tame, and Rav Huna's l'shitaso, Dam Rav Huna tol yuvazavin zvine zvine. Rav Huna holds that if someone is forced into a sale, it is a good sale. The only way to invalidate it is by writing a moda'a in advance. But if you don't write a moda'a in advance, even if you see that the person is being forced into the sale, it's going to be a valid sale. There's no problem with that sale. The only thing is, if you have a moda'a in advance, then you can cancel the sale. So, frek the Gemara, Eini, is this really so? Meaning, going back now on what we just said Rabba Bar Bruchana did, is it really so that Rabba Bar Bruchana signed on the moda'a and on the ashkalta? How could the moda'a work if the same aid who signed on the moda'a then went and signed on the ashkalta? V'ha'amar Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman teach us? Ha'edim sha'amru, if edim come and say, yes, you see our signature on that shtar, and therefore you think that shtar is valid, but we're telling you, amana hayudvarenu, that we signed that shtar not knowing that any transaction happened yet, we were doing it on the grounds that the person thought the transaction was going to happen, and he wanted to have a shtar ready for him. So we signed that shtar in advance, even though no transaction occurred. So basically what the edim are saying is, you see our names on that shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon $100, but we don't really know that Reuven owes Shimon $100. And we never saw Reuven borrow $100 from Shimon. We wrote that shtar because Reuven told us, or Shimon told us, that that there is going to be a transaction that takes place, and we trusted that there would be one, and we wanted them to have a shtar ready for when there would be a transaction, but no transaction took place, and therefore they're essentially saying the shtar that we signed on with our own names is pasul, right? That shtar can't be trusted. They're not believed to say such a thing, that the shtar they signed on is pasul. Why are they not believed? So Rashbam quotes two reasons that they're not believed to say such a thing. First of all, Rashbam writes in the fourth line on the page, Dime'acha shahodu shabekashrus nichtav, once they admitted that it was written bekashrus, meaning that the shtar was written bekashrus, how did they admit that? By signing their names on it. Right, once they put their names on the dotted line at the bottom of that document, and they therefore certified that the shtar is a kasha shtar, Kol Masha Kasub Ashtar. The Chasima on the Shtar, signing the Shtar, is as if they're being made and based in on everything that that was written in the Shtar. Shalvol Malvel Lova, that the Malvel lent money to the Lova. Vekivan Shehigid, Shovein Chozer Magid. So since their signature is their edus, that everything is kosher, that everything that it says in the Shtar is true, they're now not believed to offer contradictory testimony. That's the concept, Kivin Shegit Shuvenu Chozer Magid. And that's why they're not believed to say, Amano Yidvarenu, because they can't come along now and say, Amano Yidvarenu, when at first they allowed this shtar to, not only allowed, they certified this shtar, they gave edus on what's written in this shtar. It's Kivin Shegit Shuvenu Chozer Magid. That's one reason why they're not believed to say, Amano Yidvarenu. The Gemara offers, the Rashbam rather offers a second reason. If you look in the third medium-sized line, Rashbam writes, "Amaylo mehemni kederav kahana, dam rav kahana, asul la adam shiisha shtar amana b'toch beisa, mishum shenemar al tishkon v'alecha avla." A person is not allowed to. The Gemara in Ksubis tells us a person is not allowed to keep a shtar amana in their house because the pasuk says, "Al tishkon v'alecha avla," that you shouldn't keep an avla in your house. Why is a shtar amana an avla? Because it's a shtar that says Ruvein el Shimon money when we don't really know if Ruvein el Shimon any money, and therefore can easily be used by Shimon to extract money that he doesn't really unlawfully, and therefore it's considered an avla, right? The Gemara says that an avla, a shtar perua, is an avla. If a shtar has already been paid and you keep it in your house, it's an avla. The Gemara says a sefer she'eno muga, right? If you have a sefer Torah that's missing a letter or two, that's not exactly correct, that's an avla. You're not allowed to keep such a thing in your house. Why is a sefer she'eno muga an avla? Again, because a takala could come out of it, because you're going to be reading from the sefer, and instead of l'mashal, instead of it saying lo sachmod, it's going to say sachmod, because the word lo is going to be missing. Whatever, it's missing something, and a person's going to get the wrong impression, and they're going to pass the halacha incorrectly. So anything that's an avla, you're not allowed to leave in your house. It's a big kasha, by the way. Why in many shuls, when we see on Simchas Torah, what they do is they take a lot of shuls, they take all the svarim out, even the pasul svarim. Right, and they keep pasul svarim in shuls year round. Sometimes they put a gartel on the outside so that they could remember, not on the inside. But pashas says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to keep an avla b'toch beisecha. Doesn't love dafka b'toch beisecha. It means you're not allowed to leave it around. You have to correct the situation. So it's a big mitzvah to fix these sefer Torah. Sometimes it's expensive, and that's why they don't do it. But we should try to fix any sefer Torah that have a problem. But anyway, so if a shtar amana is not allowed to be kept around because it's an avla, the kivin d'avla he edim avla lo chasmi. Edim can't sign on an avla. The chiyamar chasamti, and therefore, if this aid is saying I signed on something that I'm telling you now is an avla, meaning we just see he signed on a shtar. As far as we know, the shtar is perfectly kosher. Now he's coming and telling us, no, it's not a kosher shtar. It's an avla. It's a terrible shtar because it's a shtar amana. Eino neman. We don't believe him. Dein adam neman beedus kshmeis maasman rasha beedus ugedam rasam. Ein adam eis maasman rasha. Person is not believed to say he's a rasha. And if he's saying that he signed on an avla, he's a rasha. So you can't sign a shtar amana. So we're not going to believe him to say that the shtar that he signed was a shtar amana. So an eid is not believed to say that the shtar was a shtar amana. Not only that, modah hayud varenu einemanim, the Gemara says weiter. If a person says that the shtar that he signed on, which looks like a perfectly kosher shtar, was really a shtar moda'a, which again was what we just said, that it's when you certify in advance that the transaction you're going to make, you don't really want to make, and you're being forced into it, and therefore you're trying to invalidate the transaction. So what if Edim signed on a shtar mecher, and they say, yeah, we signed on that, but there was a moda'a, and we knew that this our signature should not be acceptable because it was the person made a moda in advance. Now there was no actual shtar moda, but they're saying that there was a moda in advance, and therefore you shouldn't pay any attention to that shtar. So ein ne'amanim. They're not believed to say such a thing. So what's the point? Rashbam says that's exactly our kasha over here. Look at the Rashbam Adayot Vareinu, a few lines into it. V'hachanami, amai bitel Rav Huna ha'ashkalta b'shvil ha'moda'a. Why was Rav Huna mevatel the ashkalta, the shtar mecher, in favor of the moda'a, shei rabba barbachanu, hu ha'eid shal moda'ayot Vareinu, When you sign a modah and an ashkalta, why is that any different than an aide whose name is on the shtar coming along and saying, oh, don't trust my signature on that shtar, it was all a modah, there was a modah in advance, so you shouldn't trust anything that's written there. We don't believe such a guy who says such a thing. So why was Rav Huna willing to say that that the ashkalta was, that the shtar mecher was invalidated based on the fact that there was a modah? An A that comes and says Madai Dvarenu is not Neman. So Rav Huna should have never have invalidated that shtar. The shtar should have been perfectly kosher. The Madai is what we should ignore. So answers the Gemara, no. It's a very obvious answer. It's difficult to understand what the Havamina is. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili Al Peh. Delo Asi Al Peh Umar Lishtara. Av Bishtara Asi Shtara Umar Lishtara. When can't you come and be mevatel? When is an aide not able to come and say that modah yidvareinu? That's if there's no written record of any modah. He's coming afterwards, verbally, and saying, yeah, that shtar mecher that I signed on was not valid because there was a modah made in advance. What do you mean there's a modah made in advance? Do we have any record of that? Did you write it down? Is there a shtar? Is there? There's nothing. All we have is his word that there was a modah. When's his word coming? His word comes after the shtar mecher. That's no good. A modah has to be done in advance. So we need to have some record of it that it was done in advance. If you look at the Rashbam again, Rashbam explains, lo asa al peh, even though the Gemara uses the term al peh versus a shtar, Rashbam really puts the emphasis not on whether it's verbal or bishtar, but more on when we knew about the modah. Right, if we have a record of the moda'a prior to the mecher, or if our first record of the moda'a is after the mecher. If we had a record of the moda'a prior to the mecher, so fine, gesundheit, you could be mevatel a mecher in advance by having a moda'a in advance, that's fine. But after the mecher, you can't be mevatel a mecher by having a moda'a after the mecher, either claiming it was before. Yeah, but how do we know that it was before? We don't have any record of it being before. So that's what Rashbam writes. Lo asa al peh dahashta umar lishtara dekadim. So verbal testimony of right now cannot go and uproot a shtar that came prior. Aval bishtara shenichtav amodaa bishtar v'chasmo la edim ki hachterad bar bachana. But if you have the modaa written in a shtar, and therefore that shtar was signed, and you know that shtar was signed and dated prior to the shtar mecher. The shtar moda'a we know came earlier, shakadma liyashkalta, came before the shtar mecher, then asi shtar de moda'a de kadim, mar le shtar de ashkalta de basrei, then the shtar of the moda'a, which came first, can go and be married the shtar of the ashkalta, which came afterwards. The question is, what if you have, what if you know it happened first, but you don't have a shtar? I mean, the Gemara places emphasis on the shtar. Meaning, Edim can't come along and say, Moda'a hayu dvarenu. Now, if they're the Edim for the Moda'a, and they're also the Edim on the shtar, what if they weren't the same people? What if you have Edim on the shtar, and then other Edim came and said, 2 weeks ago, before the shtar was ever written, the fellow came and told us that it was a Moda'a. He let it be known in front of us that it's a Moda'a. Is the fact that the second one was a shtar, does that require that the moda'a should have been done bishtar also? Or do you just say, no, now we have evidence that the moda'a was done earlier, and therefore we don't care if it was done bishtar or not. It was good enough that it was done earlier. Over here we also have evidence, because the same edim who signed on the shtar are telling us that it was done earlier. No, but these are the same edim as the shtar. Maybe that's the problem. Their first testimony that we know of was the testimony in the shtar. Right, so we can't then go and trust their testimony where they try to predate themselves. But maybe if other Edim came in who we don't have any other testimony from, and they say that that this was a Moda'a and we know about it in advance, maybe that would be okay. So maybe it's not a din in Shtar versus Alpeh. It's a din in simply in timing, in which came first. I don't know the answer. I didn't have a chance to look around and to find what the answer would be. But it seems that the Rashbam places much more emphasis on the timing, whereas the Lashon of the Gemara places the emphasis on the shtar versus the alpeh. So again, I didn't have a chance to look around the Rishonim. Just a thought. Okay, says the Gemara Gufa. Amar Rav Nachman, Amana Yitvarenu Ein Amana. Rav Nachman says if the Edim come and say that the shtar that we signed was only a shtar Amana, they're not believed. If they come and say that the shtar that we signed was a moda'a, they're also not believed. Again, not believed to say it was a moda'a. Umar Baravashi Amar, so far we had that. But now Mar Baravashi comes along and says, Amana Hayudvarenu Einemanim. If they say Amana Hayudvarenu, that the shtar we signed was a shtar Amana and the transaction recorded in the shtar didn't happen yet, you're right, they're not believed. Moda haidvarenu ne'amanim. But if they say moda haidvarenu, then they are believed. My time, and why they believe to say moda haidvarenu, and not amana haidvarenu, shezen nitin likasev, v'zelo nitin likasev. Because one is meant to be written down, and the other is not meant to be written down. What's this talking about? So take a look at the Rashbam. Umar b'Ravashi amar amana haidvarenu ne'amanim, k'nifarish k'mesh lo nitin likasev. Why do we say amana haidvarenu is not believed? Because amana should not be written down, could reach le'el. And therefore, when mishum dekhsiv al tishkan ba'alach ha'avla, because we said that, meaning, ashtar amana should never be written in the first place. It's wrong to write a shtar amana. And therefore, when Edom come along and they say, that shtar that we signed is a shtar amana, they're saying that we did something terribly wrong. Eina demesim atzma rasha, we don't believe them. So if it's something that never should have been written, and they're claiming, yeah, we wrote it anyway, we're not going to believe them, that they wrote something wrong. But moda'a, you're supposed to write a moda'a. You're supposed to write the shtar when there's a moda'a in advance. Because that's the only way that this guy is going to get out of having to deal with this thug who's forcing him into a sale is by announcing in advance that it's a moda'a and then going through the motions of a regular shtar. But says Rashbam, the Edema Avlo Chasmik Shemei Chasamti Enunemun, they know the Mesa Masm Rasha. Vihilkach, and says Rashbam, Afilu Ein Ksav Yadon Yotzi Makom Acher, even if we're unable to verify their signatures from anywhere else. And the only way we know that it is in fact these Edom who signed on the Shtar is by their own testimony, by them recognizing their own signatures. And we still don't believe them. I mean, you would think in that case you would believe them, because over there we don't even know that it's their signatures. We would never be able to be Mekayim the Shtar without them. And the very Edim who are allowing us to be Mekayim the Shtar are telling us that it was really Shtar Amana, that it's an invalid Shtar. So you might think we should believe them. Still, we don't believe them. Why? He's not believed to make himself a Rasha. But he's not worried about being Oker Shtar. The fact that there's a Shtar and that we're going to be Oker, it doesn't bother him. The only part that bothers him is Ein Lo Demesim Atzma Rasha. Meaning what he's saying is, we gave two reasons on the top in the Rashbam of why you're not believed to say Amana Hayidvarenu. Right? One reason is that you can't, that it's Ki'ilu, they're made in the Shtar when their signatures are in the Shtar and therefore they can't be Oker it afterwards. And the other is Ein Lo Demesim Atzma Rasha, it's an Avla. Rashbam is saying that according to Mar Ravashi, only the second reason is valid, right? The reason why Amana Yidvarenu is not Neman is for the second reason, that Ein Al Demesim Asma Rasha, it's an Avla, and they're not believed to say that they signed on an Avla. And that's why, because the first reason does not bother us, does not bother Mar Baravashi, that's why Modah Yidvarenu Nemanim, when you go and you say that Modah Yidvarenu, you are believed, because that is Nitan Likasev, the mitzvah ka'avdi. They're doing a mitzvah by signing the Modah, Kidei Lahatzila Anus Me'anso, in order to save this guy from this thug who's trying to force him to sell his property. And even if we're able to independently verify these signatures on the shtar, that they are valid signatures and they do belong to these people, still the Edim and the signatures are able to say, that there was a Moda in advance. The Ein Zeh Chozer Magid. It is not a case of a person going and saying testimony after he already issued original testimony. El Milsach Riti Kamasadi. It's a brand new testimony. It's just like Edom coming and saying that, look, we signed on that shtar, but there was a tenai in that shtar, and the tenai wasn't fulfilled, and therefore the shtar is invalid. They're believed because that's a new testimony. They're introducing new evidence that they're allowed to do. They're not being mevatel the shtar. They're saying, yes, we signed that shtar and everything was done right. You should just know that in advance of that shtar there was a moda'a. And that's new testimony that therefore comes and invalidates the shtar. It's new evidence coming to light. It's not changing their testimony. It's an added fact that wasn't stated in the original testimony. They're being mosif on the testimony. They're not being mevatel the testimony. The net result of being mosif is that it's going to be batel. Fine. But that's how we view it. We view it that they're being mosif on their testimony by now adding in this extra idea that there was a moda in advance, and therefore the whole shtar is invalid. So they are going to be believed. Now Tulsa seems to say a little bit different. Marbar Avashi Amar Modai Dvarenu Ne'amanim says Tosos to Lodami L'chozer Magidin. It's not a problem of keeping Shigit Shuvin L'chozer Magid. Sheinim El Mosif Nalei Dusim, because all they're doing is adding to their testimony. Aval Gavdu Kashakasav Yadon Yotzi Makom Achar Ein Ne'amanim. Even though when we're able to independently verify their signatures, they would not be believed to say Modai Dvarenu. And we would not say that they're just adding to their testimony. Rashbam said explicitly, even when they are believed, right? And they can say Modai Dvarenu. Tosa is saying no. When we're able to independently verify that these are their signatures, then we're not going to believe Modai Dvarenu. It's only when we only know that these are their signatures from themselves that we're going to be able to say Modai Dvarenu. Since it's not a complete reversal of the Eidus and the Shtar, it's sort of like a Hosafa on the Eidus when they say Modai Dvarenu. If they are the only reason we know that their signatures are the signatures that are in fact on the Shtar, we're going to believe them. So that's the Machlokes Tosfos and Rashbam. What if we know independently that their signatures are the signatures on the Shtar? It's not from them that we know it. Do we believe them to say Modai Dvarenu? Rashbam would say that according to Rabbi Barchani, yes, we do believe them to say Modai, Marbar Avashi rather, we do believe them to say Modai Dvarenu. Tosfos would say no. In that case, we would not believe them to say Modai Dvarenu because the Shtar is already Mekuyam, and once it's Mekuyam, they're not able to come and say Modai Dvarenu. Fine. Says the Gemara, we had said before, V'lo le'ish chazaka b'nechse yishto. A man cannot have a chazaka in his wife's nechasim, because he's going to say, what, I've been eating the peros for 3 years? Shkayach, you're entitled to the peros. You're the husband. So it's not the one you wanted to make a macha. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Right? It doesn't indicate ownership. So says the Gemara, pshita, kivin desle l'pira, pira hu d'ka'achil. What kind of statement is this? Of course, if he's supposed to eat the peros, so he's eating the peros. Of course that's not a chazaka. No, the case is he wrote to her that I don't want to have I forego any rights in your nechasim, and therefore he shouldn't be eating the peros. And one might have thought, therefore, the fact that he is eating the peros shows ownership of the property, because if it's hers, he already swore off any benefit from her property, so it must be his. So you might think that is a chazaka. So frankly, Mark, come on, no, v'chikas v'lamayavi. Just writing that I don't want to have anything to do with your property, that helps? Why does that help? If you say that a dinu dvarim ainli on this property, or you say ainli esek in your property, or you say my hand is removed from your property, lomar klum, that's totally invalid. That means absolutely nothing. So why would we think that dinu dvarim ainli b'nechsayich helps to enable him to have a chazaka in nichsei yishto? So answers Gemara, Amri le dber Rabbi Yanai, masnisen b'kosiv l'va'od arusa. No, over here the case is, while she was still in arusa, before they had nisuin, while they were still in erusin, that's when he wrote to her, dinu dvarim ainli b'nechsayich, that I want to have nothing to do with your nechasim, no benefit whatsoever from your nechasim. When you write it before you ever got the benefit in the first place, then it does work. It's only after you've already been benefiting, you've already been enjoying the peros, then it's too late to write dinu dvarim mainly. But if before it ever came to you, you wrote already dinu dvarim mainly b'nechsayich, that is going to work. Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana says, dam Rav Kahana, meaning why does it work for a combination of several shitos that we're about to quote? Number one, Rav Kahana says nachla abalol adam makom acher adam masan leshlo yirushena. That's something that's coming to you from somewhere else that you do not yet have possession. You're allowed to make a tanai that you don't want it and that you're not going to take possession of it. If it's something that's not coming to you from somewhere else, it's something that you already have, right? So then you cannot make it tonight that you're not going to get, you're not going to take possession of it. Uchid Rava, and also assuming like Rava, which further qualifies this, That if a takanas chacham was made specifically for you, for one's benefit, a person is allowed to forego that and allowed to pass up on the benefit. I can say, look, I know what the chacham were trying to do here. They're trying to do something nice for me. Well, I'm passing on that. I'm not interested. Kigon zos, like this famous example of a case where a person passes up on a benefit that they're entitled to. So we do believe them. So says Gemara, my kigon zos. What's kigon zos? What kind of benefit is that? What are we talking about? What's this prototypical example of a benefit that a person's allowed to pass up on? A woman is allowed to say to her husband, you know what, the Rabbanan were misakin that you have to support me. And in exchange for that, so that it shouldn't be a one-sided relationship, they were also misakin that once you're supporting me, I should give you my Maisi Yadayim. The woman should give her husband whatever money she makes, whatever Maisi Yadayim she has. So she could say, look, I have a job that nets me a six-figure salary. I really don't need your support. I'd rather, I'll do without the food that you give me each and every day, the meal money that you give me each and every day, so that I can keep my salary. So since the takana of giving her meal money each and every day was purely for her benefit, she's allowed to pass up on it. So over here as well, why is it that we would have had a havamina that the husband could have a chazaka in nichsa yishto? Because it could be a case where while she was still in Arusa, the husband could say, look, the Rabbanan were misakin for me that I get the peros of your nichsa maluk. Before it ever comes to me, I'm already saying, I pass. No thank you, I'm not interested in the peros of the nichsa maluk. So kamash mulan, that even though the husband is not entitled to the peros in that case because he forgave the rights to them, nevertheless, he still doesn't have a chazaka in nichsa yishto. Says the Gemara, he doesn't have a chazaka, but that implies haraya yesh, that if he has a shtar or he has edim, that the nichsa yishto belonged to him, that would be valid, that he's able to prove it through shtar or edim. But why should he have a shtar? Why should a shtar or edim be good enough? Shouldn't the woman always be able to say, yeah, you know why the edim saw that I allowed my husband to get that property and then I sold it to him? Or you know why there's a shtar that says that I sold that property to my husband? I just didn't want to get into a fight with him. I didn't really want to sell the property. I was just trying to, you know, keep him happy. But I didn't mean it. Milo Tanan, don't we have a mission that says, that if you buy a woman's property from her husband and then you go give her a few dollars also and she says, okay, you can have it, the sale is actually invalid in the sense that once the husband, while the husband is alive, you can enjoy all the rights that the husband enjoyed because he sold you his rights to it. But once he's gone and the sale and the property goes back to the wife, you do not own it. Why do you not own it? Because the woman can claim that I did not mean to sell it. I was just trying to make my husband happy. So over here as well, why can't a woman say, if the husband claims, I bought this property from my wife, why can't a woman say, Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili? I was just doing Nachas Ruach for my husband, but I never really intended to be makne to him. So answers the Gemara, Ha'id Marala, Amar Rabba Bar Rafuna, Lo Nitzrucha, Ela Ba'osim Gimel Sados. Now we're dafka talking about three fields that she would never do, she would never sell stam for Nachas Ruach. Either a field that was identified in her ksuba as the field from which she was going to get paid, where she has tremendous smichas das in that field, or a field that he has since, after the ksuba was written, designated as payment for the ksuba, or a field that she brought from Beis Aviyah, and they evaluated and they wrote a shtar on the evaluation so that it can be used to pay back the ksuba. Such fields where she has tremendous michus das, she's not going to believe to say nachas ruach hasisi d'vayil, because she wouldn't do that for nachas ruach. She really has her heart set on those fields. Okay, Hashem will pick up, we'll go back to that point tomorrow and pick up from there.